activity waveforms in the burst analysis of binary black hole mergers. And work for this study was done in a collaboration between Georgia Tech, handling the numerical relativity side of the study, and the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, handling the burst analysis. So the final stages of binary black hole coalescence, the merger and ring down, yield the highest signal-to-noise ratio in ground-based detectors, and the waveforms are burst-like, lasting a millisecond to a few seconds in the detector band. This high signal-to-noise ratio provides the motivation for our current study. And so the idea is to systematically study how the physical parameters of the binary black hole system will affect the detectability of the binary black hole merger in a template-less burst search. And and today I'm focusing on the effects of the black hole spin and its orientation, its initial orientation. So the plan is to produce numerical relativity waveforms and mix them with detector noise and use this as the input for the Omega pipeline as developed by the LSC. And then we would take the output from the Omega and post-process that to give us a detection efficiency. And it's important to note that we are not doing any matched filtering to these numerical relativity waveforms at all. Instead, Omega does not assume any model beforehand. Instead, it looks for excess energy in the strain time series. So first, the numerical relativity setup. The runs for this study were based on a series of runs performed by Frank Herman while at Penn State University in 2007 in an effort to study the effects of black hole spin on the final kick of the system. I redid these runs about a year ago with the expanded Maya Crank vacuum binary black hole numerical relativity code and expanded on at a higher resolution and with higher order spatial finite differencing. The so-called S series is a binary black hole system initially in a quasi-circular configuration where the black holes are initiated on the x-axis and separated by a distance of d over m, where capital M is the total mass of the total mass of the system. Each black hole has a spin with equal magnitude and of a over m, where little m is the mass of the individual black holes. And so the black hole on the negative x-axis has a spin that is initially aligned in the negative x direction, and the black hole on the positive x-axis has a spin that is initially at an angle of theta with respect to the z direction, where the z direction is in the direction of the initial orbital angular momentum L. So I expanded on the initial S-series runs, which had an initial separation of 6.2m and a spin magnitudes of 0.6. So we looked at five series with different initial separations and spin magnitudes and varied this angle theta from 0 to 360 degrees for each series. So we looked at three series where we kept the initial separation fixed at 6.2m and changed the spin magnitudes from 0.2 to 0.4 to 0.6, and then two more series of runs with different initial separations of 8 and 10m and spin magnitudes of 0.6. So here are two modes of the strain waveforms for the three series where the initial separations change, but the spin magnitude is held constant at 0.6. So in the top panel, we have the short run, d over m equals 6.2. In the middle panel, the initial separation is 8, the medium length runs, and in the bottom panel, the long runs with the d over m equals the 10. So we calculated convergence for a few of the short runs and found that the error was consistent with our fourth order code. And since the runs were so short, only 2 to 3 cycles before merger. The phase error is very small, on the order of 0.01, and the amplitude error is about 2%. And we did the same for one of the longer runs, the D over M equals 10, and found a phase error of 0.1 and an amplitude error of about 5%. So now the burst search side. So unmodeled burst searches can detect gravitational wave transients in Virgo or LIGO data without assumption of waveform morphology by looking for excess signal energy in the strain time series. These searches can potentially detect signals that other searches might miss because they do not need to know what the waveform looks like beforehand. So the way we inject our numerical relativity waveforms into the burst search algorithm, which I mentioned before we're using Omega, is to construct a spherical shell around a detector. And on this shell, we take one of the numerical relativity waveforms and randomize it over sky location, mass of the system, and source inclination. And overall, on one shell, we have about 13,000 different randomized numerical relativity waveforms. We then take this one shell and scale it so to effectively set up a simulated sky with 27 concentric shells around the detector, all at different distances from the detector. So then the waveforms are injected with Gaussian noise colored to mimic the initial LIGO design sensitivity, and this combined signal and noise is fed into the Omega as simulated detector output. And then we post-process the output from Omega to calculate an efficiency distance. And so for this study, we restricted ourselves to a intermediate black hole mass range of 80 to 350 solar masses. And also, we only looked at the 2-2 and 2-2 modes of the waveforms. And so post-processing consists of taking the list of triggers output from Omega and comparing it to the list of injections that were input into Omega. And a threshold signal-to-noise ratio of 5.5 was used to identify which injections were found and were found. So then we calculated for each shell, we calculated a detection efficiency as the ratio of the number of injections found to the total number of injections. And so in this figure here, each point corresponds to one of the shells around the detector, and the red line corresponds to where we found 50% of the injections that were input into Omega. And so there's also an uncertainty for each one of these points related to the efficiency and to 1 over the square root of n, but on this scale, they are too small to see. And so we calculated this 50% efficiency distance for all the runs in our series and binned the results into 12 22.5 mass solar mass wide bins to produce a contour of the detection efficiency versus the mass and the system mass and the angle theta. So this contour is for the case where we did the most simulations, the short runs with the spin magnitude of 0.6. And if you look at the dependence of the system mass, you can see that for all angles theta, there's roughly a maximum at about 180 solar masses. And then if we were to increase or decrease the system mass from this point, the efficiency distance would decrease. And so this is a well-understood feature and not unique to this system by any means. So there's a more interesting dependence on the angle theta. If you look, there appears to be a peak, a maximum at theta equals 0, and a minimum at theta equals approximately 180 degrees, although this changes based on the system mass. So theta equals 0 corresponds to the case where the spin of the one black hole is up, and theta equals 180 is the case where it's down. So in other words, this corresponds to the case where we have the theta equals 0 corresponds to the case where we have a maximum in the initial angular momentum in the z direction, and theta equals 180 is where we have a minimum. So the efficiency distance roughly scales to the angular momentum of the initial system. However, there's something that indicates that this isn't exactly so. There's this blip around theta equals 255 degrees for all angles, where the efficiency distance drops before beginning to climb again. And you could kind of, the area to look is around that little island in the middle of the figure. And so before coming back to explain the blip, I will look at the efficiency distance versus the varying initial separations. So here is a figure with 50% efficiency distance over the entire mass range, not separated into bins, on the y-axis, and theta on the x-axis. And each line corresponds to one of the cases where the spin magnitude is the same, a 0.6, and we vary the initial separations. So as you can see, the qualitative behavior of the efficiency distance is the same for all cases, including a change in behavior around 255, where we observe the blip in the blue line, although we may be under-resolved in the other lines to fully understand what's going on there. And but note that we did not expect to find exactly the same curves, even though these start with the same spin configuration, because they start at different initial separations. And so as they evolve, the spins precess, and upon merger, the spin configurations are totally different. So we didn't expect to obtain exactly the same curves, but the qualitative behavior is about the same. So then this figure on the left here is the same for the case where we keep the initial separation fixed at 6.2 and we vary the spin magnitudes. And if you look in the right figure, that is the magnitude of the total angular momentum of the system initially. So in particular, you can see that all the general features of the figure on the right are also seen in the 50% efficiency distance. And overall, you can get a rough idea of what to expect from just looking at the initial angular momentum of the system. So in particular, if you look at around theta equals 90 degrees, this is the case where the spins initially cancel, so all the initial angular momentum is purely orbital, and approximately the same since the initial separation is the same for all the cases. This leads to approximately the same efficiency distance for all three cases. But remember the blip. We saw that there was no blip in that initial angular momentum whatsoever. So here, if we looked at the radiated angular momentum of the system in the z direction, this is the percentage of the radiated angular momentum in the z direction in the right figure, and in the left figure is the 50% efficiency distance in one of our mass ranges. In this case, 102.5 to 125 solar masses. So as you can see, the correlation between the two is very good, meaning that the blip and the finer features of the efficiency distance in this mass bin is directly related to the radiated angular momentum. And so in conclusion, we systematically studied a system in which the black holes have variable spins and found that you can get a rough idea of what to expect in an efficiency distance by looking at the initial angular momentum. And to see the finer details, we would actually have to look at the radiated angular momentum of the system. And we found that it's very strongly correlated to the radiated angular momentum of the system. And in Mike Boyle's talk yesterday morning about the Ninja Burst search, he mentioned briefly about how they are noticing something similar, where they have the initial black holes with spins aligned to the orbital angular momentum are more easily detected than when the spins are anti-aligned. And so I don't know what Ninja is using to do their burst search, but it seems we are both observing the same thing. And we also saw that Omega is sensitive enough to pick up these small changes in radiated angular momentum. And overall, the percentage of radiated angular momentum was between 24 and 28%, roughly. And finally, one of our open questions is how important are the higher modes? Right now, we only looked at 2.2 and 2.2, so it may not be too surprising that the efficiency distance mimicked only the radiated angular momentum in the z direction and not, say, the total angular momentum of the system. And so one of the things we're looking at now is to include the other modes, and at first we would look at the other L equals 2 modes and see how this changes the detection efficiency. And that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Jim?